From the School of Communication at Loyola University Chicago, it's Q&A. Here's Joel Geisler.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back. And we're going to talk about a really serious question today. How do I combat sexual harassment in the workplace? Sexual harassment is real, even if people haven't been talking to you about it. You need to ask women in your workplace, and if they trust you, you'll hear stories that they've kept to themselves, and you'll be shocked. How do I know? Well, from personal experience, for one, from leading sessions on sexual harassment with groups and hearing their stories for another, but also from research, recent statistics, not from the bad old days of long ago, but from now. In June of 2016, the U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission released a study on sexual harassment in the workplace. It was a major study, and it found that 42% of women and 16% of men say they have been victims of sexual harassment, but 70% don't report it. What do? They avoid the harasser, they downplay or try to deny it, or they ignore it and they endure it. Women most often turn to family and friends to talk about it and at least have somewhere to go to get some comfort, but they don't get a resolution in the workplace. Now, why don't people report to management? Well, the EEOC study found that it was, one, indifference in their organizations to the idea that sexual harassment is a problem, or trivialization of the behaviors, or outright hostility to those who bring it up, or even retaliation. This is shocking. 75% of those who spoke out said they faced retaliation. So this is serious, my friends, and it explains why it takes high-profile sexual harassment cases like the Roger Ailes lawsuit brought by Gretchen Carlson at Fox News, a situation that cost Ailes his job because of sexual harassment, to open the floodgates for other women to speak out. Suddenly, the conversations among us shift from, oh, how could that go on, come on, to, my gosh, that actually goes on. I wonder if it happens to other people. And then those other people feel more comfortable speaking up. And it also provides answers to why victims often wait so long to speak out. There's danger in being a lone victim, but there's more safety in numbers. So don't fall prey to those who discount those who wait a long time to come forward, and take seriously the statements of their friends and family who say they indeed had told them way back when it happened. But how do we stop sexual harassment in the first place? Well, the EEOC says these things raise the risk of sexual harassment in the workplace. I'm going to go through a list with you now. Number one, a star system, you know, where certain people are held in a special regard. Maybe they don't have to follow all the other rules that other people do because they're superstars. They go unchallenged. Sometimes it's the makeup of the workplace, the percentage of women to men. It's also about workplaces that have outliers. Maybe it's the lone gay person, or the lone Muslim, or the lone woman. If you're an outlier, there's a greater chance of being singled out for harassment. Then, what about the culture and language at work? You know, the way people talk, the way they joke, the way they feel comfortable saying things that might be on the edge or over the edge. Another issue is decentralized workspaces, when people work at satellite offices where there isn't significant management oversight. There's also the problem of young staff. Young staff may be much more vulnerable to manipulation and not know how to respond. And then there's the issue of an atmosphere of customer satisfaction and service. Now, we think that's a really great thing, but when people hear constantly that the customer is always right, that you have to hold your feelings in check, then those people might feel that they can't complain even if they're being harassed by clients or customers. And then any workplace where alcohol plays a factor can contribute to sexual harassment. all of those things are little warning signs that you as a leader should pay attention to, because it means you have to be more vigilant for the opportunities for sexual harassment to happen. So what should leaders do in addition to that? Well, they should approach sexual harassment, the issue of it, with a sense of seriousness and urgency. You might want to do an organizational climate survey. These are all issues that the EEOC is suggesting. Check your policies and procedures. What kind of training do you do? Make sure you do it in person rather than putting people through some online training program where they cannot pay much attention and not take it personally. Make sure mid-level managers have a strong sense of accountability and reward them if they put an end to sexual harassment. Be transparent about the way you handle problems, and don't hesitate to do systematic checks and tests just to see how everybody is doing. But you as a leader set the tone. Your values are contagious. If you don't tolerate incivility and harassment of any kind, then that influences others. That is how you combat sexual harassment in the workplace, through your leadership. Thanks to the EEOC for the research and the advice that I was happy to share. For Loyola University in Chicago, I'm Jill Geisler.